This conference is being recorded.
Walker Fire Protection Association, March board meeting. Okay, we have an agenda that was published. Thanks, Roger, for printing it, because for some reason I'm not printing it and bringing it with me. It's one of those things that I don't know if I don't want to bring it or not. But any changes to this agenda? I didn't really receive any from any of you, I don't believe.
Just wanted to add the website.
Website, okay. And that'll come under old business?
Yeah.
Okay, any other additions?
I mean, I can talk about Walker Day briefly.
Walker Day is part of your committee reports. It's always included. You don't have to be specifically named on the agenda.
And welcome wagon thing.
Welcome wagon thing?
Yeah.
Is that new business? Okay, with amendments to add a website under old business and under new business, add the welcome wagon.
Yeah.
Any other changes to the agenda? I have a motion to accept the agenda as amended.
Motion.
John O is getting on to the game here. Second?
Oh, yeah.
Have a second. Greg Stava seconds. Any discussion about this? All in favor? Opposed? Okay, public comments. Lauren, you have anything to say before we start? I'll wait till after. Well, the President's report, there's really not much to say other than we have some communication from Ms. Keith Davis about the repeater, and we'll talk about that later on down in the under new business. So I'll just go right straight to the minutes and the Secretary's report.
Minutes were distributed to the board for review. Did receive a question from Victoria Morehouse regarding the incomplete sentence at the end of the President's report. Victoria asked if I could provide the end of month income, and I didn't have that information available and was not available in the audio recording. I did check the file this morning to see if we had the Treasurer's report, and I don't have a hard copy of that from January. So I've sent a note off to Vic to get that, and I'll answer Victoria's question when I get there from Vic. So I'm going to move to amend the last sentence of the President's report to read income at the end of the month was ahead of budget for October, November, and December, and ahead in January, and that's per the recording. Can I get a second on that?
Seconds. Greg seconds. And, okay, for discussion, there was no specific amount mentioned in the minutes. We didn't have a report. It was just an observation that the income has stayed above previous years and at the budget, at and above budget. So any other discussion about the minutes? Has been motion moved and seconded.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor of approving the minutes? Opposed?
Thank you. Mailing list has been created for the dues letter. The information has been purged and duplicate records. I've also removed county records, federal and state records that were in there, and I've taken the current donors list as of yesterday and removed those records as well so that we don't send notices out to people who have already donated for the year.
What date did you use for that cutoff? Because you mentioned June 1st.
For the records?
The people that paid.
They were from June until yesterday.
Okay, you've got to go from January 1st because the dues collections are tax-based, so they're calendar year.
Okay.
So you're going to pick up anybody that paid up to December 31st will get a 2012 unless they prepaid for 2013 and ask for it. So you're going to want to do your cutoff as of January 1st.
Okay, so then I need to go back and add some records back in.
Quite a few probably, yeah.
Yeah, because there were some from December. So we don't know if those are for this year or for...
Well, no, you're going to start brand new January 1st, okay. So nobody, unless you've gotten a receipt for a payment from January 1st on, and I don't think we've got that many.
Okay, that'll be easy to
January.
Fix.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can go back
up as of January 1st and forward.
Yeah, they're easy to find. The audio file and a copy of the presentation from the EPA meeting on March 6th was sent to the webmaster for posting on the website. That's it.
Okay, the Treasurer's report.
I'd like to accept that. That was fabulous.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to do that then. Johnny O. moves to accept secretary's report. 2 seconds.
Now,
you get your hand up there, Chuck.
I'm not doing it today.
Nothing today? Okay. And then we have all in favor? Opposed? Okay. Treasurer's report, we have the printout that Vic sent, but there's no, you want to read this eight page thing? Looks like we only had a limited amount of income in February. But I think that overall the budget is, we're still about $2,500 down from budgeted income, and our budgeted income is higher than it was the previous year. So we'll just dispense with the reading of the treasurer's report.
I love the idea.
Okay, it's good. It doesn't take a motion. Fire chief's report.
This is kind of a long one. Calls. We had one medical call and one wildfire. We received a lot of support from the Forest Service on the wildfire. As a casual observation, we've had a lot of fires in the last 6 months. We'll see whether this is an anomaly or if we're transitioning to a busier department. I should probably mention the cause of the wildfire is under investigation. I talked a little bit with Bill about that, so that's why there wasn't any sort of community announcement about it. Fleet. Okay, so several months ago, one of the crews from Prescott Engine 75 suggested that we use one of our Type 6 engines as a command vehicle. That's a pretty standard term, command vehicle. There will be little of any expense. The idea will be that when the weather is warmer, we would park Patrol 83 at my house. When a call comes in, I would respond directly instead of going to the station first. If it is a medical call, I have my own go bag, and so this would reduce response time. If it's a wildfire, it would enable us to get eyes on the fire and start the process of calling for outside help 10 or 15 minutes faster. As 83 is a Type 6 engine, it has a pump and 300 of gallons of water, so it would protect me if it were a fire. Also, it would serve as a cache for extra supplies like water, Gatorade, chainsaw, flagging, and other items used during the course of an incident. I don't know, since there's no real money involved, I don't know that there's anything to approve or not. If someone thinks it's a terrible idea, then we can explore that. But it's a follow-up on a suggestion from Prescott.
Well, do you want to have a discussion about that now, or you want to do this at the end of your report altogether? Come back and talk on each of these points. We want to deal with them as you go through them.
Whatever makes sense, I don't care.
We'll do it and talk about it at the end.
Okay. Training. Our February 16th training was a refresher for medical procedures for non-medical personnel. Also covered wildland pack contents and a review of 10 and 18. March 2nd training was a refresher on wildland trucks and wildland procedures. Our April 6th training will be RT-130 refresher, which is a required training. We were not able to get this put on for free. It will cost $30 a person. So that was kind of just a warning for Vic. Arizona Wildfire Academy, we have 6 firefighters attending the Wildfire Academy. We received $1,500 from PAWC to cover our expense. On here I talk about that we owed PAWC $5. Well, I spoke to the chairman on Thursday at the PAWC meeting, and it's easier for them where it's $5 as opposed to several hundred dollars. For $5, it's easier for them that we don't pay them back. So there you go. As far as the actual PAWC meeting, no report. Facilities, no report. Prescott Basin Ops Group, the drill will be in Walker March 29th. There will be a lot of engines from many departments in the area. And then I asked, could we push out an email letting the community know about the extra traffic for the one day? And that won't conflict with the EPA, you know, their shenanigans. They start in the middle of April, presumably. Western Yavapai Chiefs Association, this is a new organization modeled after the longstanding Eastern Yavapai County Chiefs Association. I'm on the forming committee for the group and hope to be an officer when we get to that point. In terms of manpower, fleet, and training, we are far from the bottom of the ladder relative. There's like 20-something departments involved in this. And I would say not necessarily budget-wise, but in terms of personnel training and fleet, we're right in the middle of the pack, which really surprised me. I figured out of 22, we might be like number 21. So I was pretty pleased with that. And so I say in here, you know, the fact that we're in the middle of the pack and not at the bottom of the barrel is a great commentary on the support we received from the community. The opportunity with this is along the lines of building economies of scale for things like training and possible procurement. Zoll Medical Device. So if you read that first paragraph, names the people who gave us the grant for it, sent me an email essentially asking for it back. And the guy who did it was kind of not involved with the awarding of the grant to us, so there were a few questions I had. Subsequent to my email exchange with him, Steve Nathanson spoke to the woman who's involved, you know, who's actually on the names committee, who was there, who awarded us the Zoll. And long story short, although not completely put to bed, it is unlikely we will have to surrender the device. But there are, if we're asked to do that, there are issues with, we paid for a service agreement, which is small potatoes relative to the fact that we apparently bought more Zoll than what we were awarded via the grant. We were awarded like $9,900. We kicked in another $5,000 to buy a superior machine. So the question is, if they actually can ask for it back, presumably because we don't have a paramedic, did we as a department make a mistake by kicking in the $5,000 and now we have to eat it, or will they have to compensate us? That's unknown, because for now it looks like we can keep it. It's not guaranteed.
Was there some form of breach of contract on our part? Did we allude to maybe we said we had a paramedic or something?
Well, so when we got the device, we did have a paramedic.
Okay.
And so I can imagine at that time there was no visibility for not having a paramedic.
Okay. So it wasn't something we said.
Correct. And I'm under the impression that we disclosed to them, hey, thanks for the $10,000, we're kicking in $5,000 and buying a better one.
Right.
I've been told we disclosed that. We either did or we didn't. That's what I've been told.
Do we know what year that happened? Because I think you can go to the accounting. And maybe Tim, when he was treasurer, would have more. And then also, was there an agreement that was ever signed?
Well, I'm sure it's all in the minutes. I'm sure there's a copy of the, you know, if we get to that point where they ask for it back, then I think that, you know, we'll absolutely have to do that.
A retractable grant just seems a little unusual.
Right. Well, the thing behind the thing, I believe, is Yarnell Fire knows we don't have a paramedic. He said, hey, can we, and I don't know what he had in mind, renting it, buying it, or something else from us, can we have your Zoll? And I said, you need to talk to Steve Nathanson, who he knows. So Steve thinks that was the catalyst for this whole conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Then you're not going to be at the meeting next month.
Next month, yeah. I won't be here. I've got to attend an outing for my wilderness medicine class. But I'll submit an important writing there.
They can take a grant back.
Yeah.
If you don't conform or if you guideline for a grant.
Okay.
If you screw something up, they can take it back and then some. Yeah. However, and this gets a long ways from our waiting till you're done before we have a discussion.
As Chuck has reminded me, I won't be here at the next meeting, but I'll submit an important writing now.
Right.
I'm done.
Okay.
There's stuff you guys want to ask about.
Okay. So
let's go through these one at a time. Calls.
Oh, yeah. That would be it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Whether it's an anomaly or not, you've been able to respond to all the calls that you've had. You've had plenty of support to help.
It's been great for training.
A year to go. And we've had some sort of a side discussion about, you know, your aging firefighting force, but at the same time, you still have a lot of these, you know, younger guys that are relatively close that have been responding and helping, and that's been helpful. Okay. And whether or not we're, you know, a couple of these fires have been idiots doing stupid things, and we can't control that. And the more people we have, the more likely that you're going to end up with.
I don't think we should be, as a department, making a wager on the community getting collectively smarter, however.
That's right.
I think that was
right.
That's
right.
So
we need to be ready. Now, we'll get to this. Okay, the fleet. In my view, I think it's a great idea. That we disperse these trucks away, as much as we can, as efficiently as we can, and you having one that you can hop in and go. I've always liked the idea that you go from your house directly to their medical response call, rather than come here and then wait for somebody else to come and have this. You have to have three people to go. That's just nuts, as far as I'm concerned. So I think that's a great idea, and
I make a motion we do that.
Well, let's have a discussion about it here.
No, I think it's a great, it's a great idea. Obviously, winter would be an issue. Is it a water tender or not?
No, it's
a water weather.
It's going to be your command vehicle.
Well, no, it's a Type 6 truck.
Okay.
So there is water. I mean, it is something that we winterize. It's the one that's in the back garage.
Okay.
It is something that we do need to winterize. The idea that it's kind of an extra truck is probably a good way to think of it.
Okay.
So we're crystal clear, I don't have a garage, so it would be outside, so this is a warm weather thing.
Right, okay.
The primary thing is, for a wildfire,
sure.
To the extent there are medical calls that it does cut down, that's all good, and I can respond in that fashion.
Mm-hmm.
This would be, for now, a fire season thing until
makes sense.
We build a garage at our house.
One of those great ideas that comes up and you think, why didn't we do that 10 years ago? I mean, it makes perfectly good sense just to save those minutes,
And the only question I have is that in your SOPs and SOGs, is it a requirement that two people go out? Do you have to do any kind of alteration? Because the only thing
we probably do
is one person goes out like you and then you end up in a situation. So.
Right. So, it would require a revision.
But that's simple enough, because we haven't even acted on the SOPs and SOGs.
We have. We're just stuck with
them. Well, they're working on them, but they haven't come to us for approval and not disapproval.
Right, right.
Okay, Russ, do you have anything?
Is this the same truck that we would potentially put a potato patch if we do the station?
Oh, okay, good. All right, potato patch truck is in the garage here.
Okay, let's go take the one up from the wall there.
Which one have you had as your former residence? Which truck did you have there?
I had a truck at my house last summer, and that was about just having room. We hadn't addressed the idea of a command vehicle, and so that was the one here, which is Patrol 84. 81, which is the third old truck, is up at Station 82. So that's Patrol 81, Patrol 84, that's Patrol 83. For now, Patrol 83 is the one I'm thinking has got the shortest wheelbase. So
easiest to respond to it.
Okay.
So that has water? Okay. Is that
the
phone?
It does have phone. The phone doesn't work so well. But if I'm there alone and I need to turn the pump on for something that's big, it'd be about cutting and running as opposed to staying there to,
right.
If I get there and it's a 2x2 fire, I'm probably going to try and put it out myself. There's a judgment element involved.
But with help coming.
Yes.
With help coming.
Exactly.
That's right. Good. Okay. Training, any questions about
training?
Do we
need a motion to do this? Or not?
Okay. Okay. It's his operation, full use of his equipment. He's just informing the board that's what he's going to do.
I think it's a great idea.
Cool.
Training, anything we need to talk about in training? Is there any questions about that? Okay. The Chiefs Association, you guys already had some of your discussion about the Zoll Medical Device. The only thing I'd add about the Zoll Medical Device, if that's a possibility, we certainly need to add an AED for you so you have more than one.
We have two. There's one in the ambulance. No, there's two AEDs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There is one in the ambulance, and there is one in Patrol 80.
Oh, okay.
One thing, if the group is not clear on the Zoll machine, it's beyond the scope of practice for EMTs. So right now we have no actual use for it that's within the scope of our practice. When we have a call, Steve tends to bring it in, but Lifeline has a Zoll device, so it's it kind of doesn't make sense that he knows how to plug, hook the patient up. I mean, they literally removed it from the EMT curriculum. Mm-hmm. So when I took it my class a little over a year ago, it was never addressed. But Steve knows how to put the leads on, and he kind of knows how to read the tape that it spits out. But technically speaking, there's nothing he can do with that information other than hand the tape to the paramedic from Lifeline. Right here, right now, there is no need for it, but we did pay $5,000 for it, and obviously the hope is that at some point we do have a paramedic again, and when we do, we'll have a maintained machine that they can use.
How about something like kind of a stopgap? Scott had talked about he's a paramedic, just getting certified or something to be able to work with the fire department. I mean, is that
well, so he's not a paramedic. He's
or he's close or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's an MD or what he is, but whatever his medical training is, he needs to coordinate with the doctor at the hospital that the term is he's the medical director.
Right.
He needs to coordinate with the medical director, which I think he spoke to him once and got some sort of protocol of classes he would need to take. It's not the full paramedic program, and he's either going to do it or he's not.
I see.
But right here, right now, he's not a paramedic.
Okay.
And he's not an EMT, so he could be a Samaritan on a call, but a doctor really wouldn't want to do that.
I see. So would it be in our best interest to, if there was a paramedic in the community that was willing to sign on, I mean, would that be helpful to keep this thing around, or?
Well, more importantly, it would be helpful to have a paramedic signed on,
well,
whether
sure.
we had the ZOE or not.
Sure.
Right. Right. Well, at this point, Steve has told them that our previous paramedic who is living out of the area is coming back. I don't know that whether that's true or not, but that's what he's told them, and so that appears to have put it to bed. But it's not like I said, you know, it's not 100%.
Apparently, then we don't. I mean, normally, I mean, this has already been what, 5 years, maybe, or
something like that.
Yeah, I just wonder what the term of that contract was, the original grant, because it's like I would hate to think that after 15 years you could lose your paramedic and they'd say we want it back.
Yeah,
there's got to be some duration on that.
And you know, and on that point, you know, we've got a couple things here. I don't know if we've ever gone through all of our records, but we should have a contracts and agreement file that should be maintained.
Yeah,
we
right.
should have an electronic backup for all of this stuff, maybe only accessible by the board. But we should have that in place because we've got that repeater station. We're going to be tripping over that.
There is a file that says contracts. I don't know whether or not the grant is in there.
And this isn't a criticism. Whatever we did in the past, we can certainly correct that now. So I just say, and I'd help somebody if we want to do that on a certain day. Let's just pull the file out, image all this stuff.
That contract file, Bob had started to do that when he was here. That was one of the things he was doing. Was trying to pull when he was going through this stuff, finding these contracts that were scattered throughout the record.
Yeah, because, you know, in 3 months we've had Alarm, we've had the repeater, we've had now the ZOL.
Right.
And we're sitting there scratching our head and talking about what the terms are. We can read the terms.
Okay, so, yeah, that's something we can probably, is that something you just volunteered to do?
No.
Okay, all right.
And, you know, Roger, you know, if there's a day that you can come in, you just knock it out in a couple hours.
Sure.
Before, and then we'll have a list of things we don't have.
Right.
And chase it down.
Okay, good. I talked to Roger about this briefly. Keith wants to market these things and so on. And you see this is a little different than the one that you have on the printed because it took the Bobcat out.
Yep.
It squared up the tunnel.
The shaft.
That's a mine tunnel rather than a train tunnel. Who in the hell thought about that?
Yeah.
And anyway, so if they can make this economical and we can get it as a silkscreen even, if Rogers doesn't object to it, and there had been apparently some objection about this
Correct.
Use of this kind of a
what?
Crest with non-firefighters.
Mm. Oh, so keep a separate one?
No.
I guess if you're going to get hats made, I guess I would request that they not be blue.
Yeah, whatever color you want us to make them. This just happened to be, I just had him.
Any color but blue, that can be the dividing line.
Red, white, green, black.
Yeah, it's good in black.
Yeah, that looks really good. And along that end.
For the head.
Vic made a good point. I've been using the other logo.
Yeah.
As soon as we got it, I started plastering it on the newsletter and on our website. Do we have to formally adopt, and as a board, that we're going to accept that? Because we've got the old pine tree logo.
Right.
I don't know what the history is. I don't know if anybody does. Yeah. Is there going to be anybody upset?
Well, I talked to John. John was apparently involved in that original logo. He's seen this. John Sumner. He didn't seem to be too upset by it, so... Whatever you want to do, whatever you think. Is that something we need to do as a...
Well, because if we're going to adopt as a logo for the department, then you're going to have it on your letterhead, and I would say yes. I would say that...
Okay. All right. You want to do that in the fire chief's report, or make another agenda item for that?
Another agenda item.
Okay. Any motion to accept the fire chief's report?
I like it.
I know it's on top of it today. Chuck's not going to do it, so... Greg's?
Yeah.
Greg, still have a second? Any discussion? All in favor? I oppose. Okay, committee reports. Now is the time for Firewise, Walker Day.
Firewise, and Laura and I have had some long discussions after the EPA meeting, and here's where we were. I was waiting. I had contacted the county. on our chipper day, we were looking at our chipper day sometime to begin stockpiling stuff here in the yard on about the middle of April, 22nd or something like that. And I had contacted Federico to get the monies for the bring the grinder in, and they're supposed to be back at me. That was supposed to be 4 weeks ago, but hopefully Monday or Tuesday, with an intergovernmental agreement. And so I have to draw this up with their attorneys and everything, get everything spelled out. And so that's where we are with that. And then Lauren and I had some discussion after the meeting, and Lauren, maybe you want to carry that forward a little bit.
Well, because of the road conditions, the anticipated road conditions, blockages, we were wondering how effective we could be with the collection of slash and material during that period, because we would start like April 22nd, finish up by May 17th.
Bringing the grinder in here the week of the 13th of May.
With the idea of having everything cleaned up prior to the annual meeting. And I guess they're going to work 6 days a week. So that's going to restrict the people above, you know, east and south of the station here by them being able to bring stuff down as conveniently as they normally would. But we've pretty much decided that we're going to go ahead with the original plan for the benefit of the majority of the community, and those people who can get it down, we'll get it down.
As we were looking at the fact that, you know, we could push it back to the fall, but most everybody comes up beginning in April, they want to clean up.
Right.
And so if we're going to have a needle week and try and slash and things, you know, we need to, we said we're going to do it last year, we need to do that. And it was unfortunate that the EPA didn't say anything in the meeting about I nailed them after the meeting. And I said, so you guys are aware that, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday are big days for potato patch people coming back and forth. And he said, well, we're not going to work on Sunday. I said, you're going to work on Saturday? Yeah.
Okay.
And what's that project again?
The cleanup of the mine tailings.
Oh, that's what they're doing. Okay, gotcha.
So they're going to be closing Walker Road from the mailboxes to Eagle,
mm-hmm.
just to allow their 530 truck loads of material to go back and forth, and they're going to reroute traffic up from Potato Patch in that area up through Sheldon.
Oh, boy.
Back down.
Wow. And this is how long, this period?
About 6 weeks.
Wow. Wow.
And that doesn't—that's not even including what's going to happen out here on this road, on the paved road.
No, this is going to be.
They can't open that. I mean, those big trucks.
They're going to have to control that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So Lauren and I talked at some length about this, and we thought, should we? Shouldn't we? Well, we should. And even if we have to take a dumpster out to Potato Patch and park it, mm-hmm. you know, just let those people dump there instead of having to drive all the way over here. And we thought that might be an alternative.
Go
ahead, please. Oh, no. This is your, you got the floor.
Is there some place at the Potato Patch other than on the Potato Patch property to dump, to put this thing? Would Corbin maybe put it on his property someplace so you don't have to deal with that board at the Potato Patch?
We haven't investigated that.
Yeah, we have not investigated that. I haven't talked to Kirk. And we do have to talk to Kirk. That was the other thing I talked to the EPA about after the meeting. It's like, well, he said, is there somebody we can talk to at Potato Patch? I said, sure, they have an HOA, and we'd be happy to put you in touch. So, and, you know, it's one of those things where timing is really.
And they have to know that this is going to sit there for 6 weeks.
Right.
If not.
That they're not going to pull it out on a Sunday.
Right, yeah. If not, and we're on the same page here, my thought was, I had pushed before about the concept of getting a grinder or a chipper in Potato Patch just to do a chipper day there. None of this, let it sit for a week. Just, folks, this is the day. Bring all your stuff down and we'll grind it up on site that day. That might make the sale a lot easier if it's a homeowner or an HOA that says, you know what, for one day, fine. For a whole week of collecting, making this big fire hazard, no way.
I can't speak for Lauren, but, the cost of the grant just for the grinder alone is going to be significant.
Yeah.
And that's why we're hoping to collect everything here as much as we could.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, so the FireWise and the EPA have a little conflict potentially, and we're still going to try to maintain the schedule that you had laid out, and I think that we can just try to make it work. I think people will work around, and we'll
it's
do what we can do.
Time.
And,
well, it's an HOA. They should be really excited about the concept of wanting to clean up that
community
or tinderbox.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Right.
There's only
you don't know.
Damn few places.
Yeah,
to
put
yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right, Walker Day.
Walker Day, looking good. I think everyone, just about everybody has signed on that was on last year, so that should be great.
Okay.
We'll put a...
remind me the date.
22nd, June 22nd. And what we'll do is, in the newsletters coming out in April, correct?
Yeah.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah, we have to have it in April.
Okay. In the newsletter, it'll talk about collections and when the collections will be. My guess is probably... starting maybe the 1st of May, that truck, Roger, that truck could potentially be out of there maybe May. Open that up for storage. Or is
like
it,
I think
it,
so.
It's just better weather. Once it's not, there's no freezing issue, we
right.
can get it out of there.
Right.
Okay.
It snowed in May a few times.
Right.
Year,
absolutely.
But,
yeah.
I mean, I would think in a normal year we'd be able to take it out in the middle of April.
Okay. So that would be my weekend probably.
Throw a tarp over it with a little heater in it at the end, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, we do get snow, but it usually doesn't get down into, like, you know, the 20s or anything like that.
So. Yeah, Roger, if you need it for a month or something, just put it back in my garage again.
Okay. Or even Vic. Vic was pretty close by, and he was amicable.
No.
But
is there a date that you need it out by if
you know what,
the weather doesn't cooperate?
If the weather doesn't cooperate?
Yeah.
I think by mid-May we'd be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. My intention is to put in the newsletter something about as of May 1st, maybe every Saturday from 9 to 12, people can call me or call someone and meet and actually put stuff in that building and just start collecting.
All right. Other committees.
Other than that, we have the band has signed on again for a freebie, so... That made a difference last year. Really, it made it really even for the pig roast, for them to come down for the pig roast.
Sure.
It made it quite an event, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that people are already looking forward to it. So, yeah. I mean the Firefighter Appreciation Day pig roast. Yeah, that's what it was.
You know, it's not on the I don't know what committee it would fall on, but how about that concrete apron for the helicopters? Are we going to do that? We need to do that.
I mean, I can certainly get some together and...
You know, one thing I'll do is, did someone here talk about Team Depot, the Home Depot group that goes out and does community projects?
Yeah, I had talked about that some time ago.
Did anyone actually contact and talk to the... There's a guy named Troy, I think, that is the inside person.
There's several people I have talked to, and I was talking to them about the fire station out in Tidpatch, and Kurt actually did talk to them also.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process.
And it's slightly political, and we're a little off the path, but still. Okay.
It's competitive with other requests.
Yeah, and they do one a month. That was my understanding. And
it's a pretty long
process.
Can we just get a couple of contractors to come out here and give us a bid?
Mark has offered, but he's, you know, his life is as tumultuous as anything.
Right.
No, but
his dad just died, so.
Right. Oh, we did.
Yeah.
So I think what we need is to start with, we need a plan, and in terms of, how much?
Do it.
What's the width? What's the length? How much concrete?
Okay, so I'd be happy to take on the call with a couple of contracts.
Okay.
There.
Yeah.
But we need to know, first of all, from the helicopter group, exactly what they need, correct? We need to know the dimensions of this, right?
Essentially what we need to do. And your apron. Include your apron.
Yeah. Drive 4 feet out.
Uh-huh.
And the length of the driveway as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Mark's already offered to
the
digging
for
that, and he said we should be budgeting about $4 a square foot.
Okay. For the concrete. Okay.
And he'll do the digging at his.
So it's like a $5,000.
We have a committee member.
Okay.
We have a committee guy.
All right. That's you. We're just going to keep hammering on Mark until we get this thing done.
Okay, so then we'll just include the apron with that.
And then if we can call them the contractor, get some ideas, just give them a competitive thing? Or?
Again,
my only concern is you're using the number 4 feet. Is this something that was published? We know for a fact it's 4 feet, because if it's 4.5 feet, you know, I'm going to think, crap, why didn't we know that? You know?
Well, we'll measure again.
We'll John out.
Okay.
Yeah,
there's
a point of information there.
I don't like it's never happened, you know.
Out in the in the drive, in terms of the helicopter, out in the driveway there are like metal stamps in the ground that where we put the beacons for the helicopter to land, so we can go by that.
Is that those the outside corners or something?
Yeah.
Or, I see. Okay.
So we can go by that.
Right.
As far as avoiding the it needed to be another half
right.
foot.
Right. Right.
And we can certainly consult with the helicopter.
That's what I was going to say. How big a pad do you need?
Yeah. Yeah. Is there helicopter
in the building that you're dealing with? And,
okay.
Right. How big do you guys want it?
Okay. Volunteer of the month we're going to recognize is Gene Tomek and Keith Barwick for getting the water in. And we'll send them a little certificate.
Oh, they got that done.
Got that done, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, fantastic. Those kinds of things just need to get done. Yeah. You know, they just need to do them.
Yeah.
Did Gene do that with a picking shovel?
I don't know what he did it with, but
yeah.
He's a good one. Okay.
Bare hands.
All right. Old business. We talked about articles of incorporation just briefly. We need to sit down. We have this letter from Karash now, but it appears, Whittington started all over brand new fresh like we're a brand new corporation. There are some things in that that may or may not be acceptable to the things that are omitted may or may not be acceptable to a certain segment. And so we still don't know how that's going to be received. That style or that start over process. That may be the simplest thing to do, just a clean slate, pretty generic, bland, brand new, just like your basic corporation, and then build all the controversy into the bylaws. That may be a fairly simple answer, but whether or not we can get that done, we only have a month. We have to do this before. We have to announce it 30 days before.
Right.
So we have to have this ready by the newsletter. So do we need to get together as a board with Whittington, if that's what it takes, to hammer this out and decide what we want to do and what we want to present to the community?
Well, I don't know about the rest of the members here, but maybe if we have a few minutes after the meeting today, we could sit down and talk a little bit about it. But I would highly recommend that we sit down with the corporate attorney guy and just kind of look at what this is going to
Okay. So. All right. The newsletter. Vic has said in his email that he's nearly finished, but I don't know what that nearly finished is. I think he's going to use Roger's draft.
Yeah, he's going to use Roger's draft. He added it very minimally to get the size of it down. He's got the tear-off slip, the donation slip.
Okay.
We've got PayPal set up. He's got mention in the letter of PayPal
okay.
and some of the security features, the benefits to that. So really, once we get the
list,
the scrub list, what we do is we take the letter, we take the list, and we take whatever content we want, the little pieces, we get that over to Sir Speedy, they do the printing, usually
okay.
takes them about a week.
So let's do
so
that this
the only
week?
Thing we're, yeah, and we need to, because what's going to end up happening is, the closer you have it to the newsletter, right, you're losing
right, that's right.
that
you
opportunity,
lose the impact,
the second
right.
touch, right,
okay.
so.
All right, so that. What are you doing next week, Russ? Are you out? Are you leaving town?
I am here until Friday morning. It's last
okay.
Friday morning.
Oh, as you saw, it only takes Adam just minutes to be able to get us a printout.
A sort.
And especially if you're only going to do January forward, January 13, right, is what you're talking about? You're going to... January 1st. January 1st of 2013. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And then
calendar year.
Yeah.
Calendar year.
Yeah. See,
and we have a
oh, that calendar.
you don't want to ask the
we're
member
not,
that's already donated
yeah, right.
for another
yeah, maybe in the
calendar.
January.
Yeah,
but we were doing the fiscal year. We went back to the fiscal year
yeah,
for
no.
the year. No, you want to do the calendar?
I need to get another list from Adam. I have his list. I can just select on.
Okay.
And we've only gotten $2,000 or $3,000 in donations. So
right.
It's
so it's not that big.
Deposit slip and come up.
All right.
So I'll have that to you probably Monday.
Okay.
Then we'll get it over to.
Okay, the annual meeting, the date is what, like the 27th or something like that?
It's the
25th.
Okay.
So we have to have the newsletter out before the 25th.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, the other thing you need to consider, too, work backwards from the annual. You've got nominations.
Right.
You've got a nominating committee you've got to form.
Right.
Yeah, we
got a number of things.
Okay.
What's the time? What are the start times?
9:00.
9:00.
9 to 9:30.
For
the annual meeting.
9:30.
Nice to be hopeful.
Yeah.
Old dream. Yeah.
Right. Nah, it went fast last year. I think it went fine. Okay, so the 25th is the annual meeting, so you have to have the newsletter out, I'd say, no later than the 15th. And have it, that means you have to have it to Sir Speedy by the 7th or 8th of April, you know,
yes,
so that you can get this thing accounting for any kind of hiccups.
Yep. That's why we've got to get the newsletter out this week.
The newsletter. Right, okay.
Right.
Now, are you going to do the newsletter again?
I'll do the but same reason as last year. You know, everyone come up with their ideas. We get a president's report, a fire chief's report. Again, take a look at that with the ask, the needs, and so forth, and then all, obviously the things that have been accomplished and that are still on the list to get done.
Sure.
So,
okay. In the future, throw this out real quick. Go ahead.
And then for your deal, you know, the Walker days or whatever else you're
Right. Plug that
but
in.
If you can get those articles to me as early as possible, because I can blast that out pretty quickly.
And we can do. We don't have to wait till April 7th. You know,
no.
We can certainly do it earlier than
and I'm just having a thought, and maybe there's some conflict that doesn't make this work, but newsletter and dues letter. You know, it's all expensive to ship it out. Any way that we could couple those in the years to come?
In the years to come,
well, the reason that you've done the two, and one of the things, are you going to be able to sort the electronic, the rest of the electronic list off so we don't mail to those people?
I can try and just see if I can match up my name, but I'm already running into some places where I don't have names that match properties here. I can give you a best guess.
Yeah, can you maybe two reports, one where the best guess and then the one where we just mail everybody. Because to your point, John, in the past when we had a scrub list or thought at least it was scrub, we could save $200 to $300 just by emailing everybody. And that's my preferred way. Now we've got PayPal, so you can stay people electronic.
Right.
But the reason you do the newsletter and then the newsletter, it gives you two opportunities for the ask in the beginning of the year and the end of the year. And so you could certainly combine them.
Right.
But then that extra touch, you know, what do you replace that with to get the money in?
Sure.
And if you look at our account, every time we send a letter out, a communication, money comes in.
Sure.
So how do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Let's go to mail out every week then.
Probably would lose it.
Weekly newsletter.
It would be like my utility bill. There.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that, and we could spread them out a little better maybe.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. Make it more like a quarterly thing rather than a month apart.
Yeah, and that's what,
Okay. So you're working on the newsletter. I'll get you an article. Roger will write something for you.
And I'll send an email to anybody if there's community, you know, ads.
Ideally, here's what we're shooting for. Anyone that's writing articles, anything like this, even candidates need to be in that.
Yes.
Right. That's what that's
in
the...
We need everything to be to Greg by the 1st of April. That's what we should shoot
for.
So
we need...
April Fool's joke.
Okay, in terms of the election then, in terms of a nominating committee, do we have a nominating committee or do we just solicit?
The bylaws used to require it. I believe it still does.
Yeah.
A formal nominating committee.
Okay, well.
If you only end up with one person, you've at least satisfied the requirement.
Okay. So who's on the nominating committee? Who wants to volunteer to be
someone that's actually being nominated or wants to run be on the committee?
Sure.
Curious. And then also, like,
is that you?
It could be me.
Sure.
It could be
okay.
Sure.
You want to do the nominating committee? That's what you get for standing up.
Okay.
Chairman
of the
I'll go on there.
Here we go. Okay. So Chuck
should be pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Chuck and John are the nominating committee.
Okay.
So you need a third person. You can choose a person from the community to help you with the nominating committee.
That's
what
you have to
do.
We'll open it up to the community today.
Put Lauren on that committee.
All right, say it.
Okay.
We got a firm.
All right, so
what we need to do is.
We need a motion to form a nominating committee.
Motion.
Okay.
Greg Stout moves three person nominating committee, right?
We better check them. I don't have the bylaws.
I don't have the bylaws here, but I don't know.
Okay, yeah, let's say three, and then if we have to amend that, we'll amend it to five. I think
so. Right, you have a second for that? Chuck Bauer, seconds. All right. Any discussion other than what we just had?
Yeah,
hey, John is chair.
John is chair on that, but the only requirement that he be that is that he answers email.
Right. You know, this should be pretty straightforward. I will, I promise.
Okay.
This should be pretty straightforward.
Yeah, no, that's right.
So
we'll all help if we everybody recruits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Funnel them to you. All right.
Right.
All in favor of this nominee committee? Opposed?
Okay, I'm not expecting a barrage of people.
Okay.
There's three or four seats that are open this year.
Three.
And is there actually going to be a fourth seat that's open?
Why? I don't know.
Okay.
We need to talk
about that. Oh. Because of who? We'll talk.
Oh, I understand. Okay. So maybe we don't even have to talk. I think I get it.
Hey, well, that's why you were on this committee. That's
okay. Right. Couldn't have picked a better chairman. Wow. Picked myself. So what we need to do is just throw that at Chris and have Chris put something on the Walker
right.
web sooner rather than later that says, if you're interested, send us your
file. And they have that application thing. You know, it's cut down from years gone by. Used to have all kinds
like
of...
Like a bio thing?
Yeah, just a short bio.
So if you're interested, can Chris send that out to people? Or
yeah.
do you just want to throw that out
no,
there?
No, I think you can do it in email and on the web.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can post it on the web. Yeah.
Okay. Post it and email.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So can you throw that out to Chris?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Way in the back there.
That's
there
my job.
I understand. Oh. So how does the...
I have the format for the application.
Yeah. If I wanted Chris to post something, what is the protocol for that?
Do
I contact you?
Please.
And you're the gatekeeper.
Okay.
All right. You say,
I'm
looking for license plates. We're not going to put this on the Walker web for you.
I just can't get hooked up with Zoll.
I understand. That's right. You have to go in.
So,
okay. All right. Because
yeah.
I usually just ask Bill to contact Chris, but I thought if I'm supposed to just be able to do that directly.
Yeah. Well, for that long period of time, I was, doing it, and
yes.
I'm more than happy
sure.
if somebody else is willing to do it
right.
or able to do it.
Right.
And but at the same point, I think anything that a board member wants to post,
yeah.
basically
should
will
be.
Get posted.
Yeah.
yeah. And it, the filter is basically for, I'm going to have a birthday party next week at my house.
Content or inappropriate.
Found a Chihuahua dog that should have died anyway.
Wait, what?
Don't say that in front of Roger.
Oh, yeah, you point at the recording.
Yeah.
No. No, I think the dog things are fine, and they haven't really been all that bad. But I think if you're getting like one a week or one a day or something like that, then you have to. Then the gatekeeper is going to have to make some determinations.
We've talked about this. What other forms is there, really? If
there is none.
Love their dog. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's really not fire department business, sort of, per se, but...
Right.
I think
they
most
love
people
dogs.
Get their... Yeah, they
the
just don't read it.
The community.
Yeah, okay.
That's what you got to keep in mind. Maybe.
Right. Okay.
What's impressive?
So that leads
right.
us to the...
Right.
Oh, okay. I'm going to skip the art show and go to the website, and then we'll come back to the art show.
Okay, fair enough.
Because
okay.
this is... We're right.
It's relevant.
Yeah.
Yes. And I just wanted to say that, Chris and I... I worked on putting that thing together, and so we work pretty well together. We're neighbors, and we're in constant communication, and so I'm working well with them. And the reason I wanted to put that on there because I wanted to bring up the issue of the EPA meeting. And I appreciate Russ putting that stuff together on there, although we already had done some of that work. So I want to caution the members on that. If you feel the need to speak, constructive and creative and put that together, that's fine. But Chris had already actually converted that file, so it would be less work for another member. So
when that happens, he's the secretary. He's assuming that that's what he's going to be doing. So when that happens, let him know.
Yeah. And the blurb on that, I'm going to rewrite a little bit. No front against anybody, but I think we need to make it a little bit more robust for the community. Rather than just, hey, the EPA meeting was here and we did this, but I think it needs to be a big spread on the, and we're going to not just have a link, we're going to actually have a banner or something so people have an idea that this is important to read this.
Okay.
And, not just posting the article, but, a caption of what this means to you. In other words, anybody going to
affect it, you.
Absolutely. So, if it's a way to avoid the traffic during the weekdays or the weekend, then.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have that's something they don't even know yet.
Yeah.
Right. So that comes in the future. All right.
Exactly. So I just wanted to reiterate that on the website we can do other things like what you're talking about. It's real simple.
So you have a gatekeeper responsibility for the website. I've been making Roger mad.
No.
Okay. Art show.
Art show. So our gal, Timmy.
Yes.
Is she's fired up about it, and she's we did. Kind of put it out to her that no less than 10 people, if she can't get at least 10 people to sign up, it's a no-go. It's just too much of a challenge for the fire department and all that for let's just say $300 or something like that. But she's expecting around 30, I think she thinks she can sell 30 tables. It should be about $1,000 for the fire department. It'd be a neat community event, something else that people can look forward to. It's going to be October 10th. Does that sound about right? I'm sorry,
August
10th. August 10th.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
And good. There's no conflict, anything like that.
It's a board meeting day.
It's a board meeting day, right.
And we can, if we all agree, we can move the board meeting up. No, you don't count in August.
Right. Hopefully. I mean, but that could be that broken nomination from the floor at a moment of weakness for you.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, how did my hand get up there? And
August.
Yeah.
I won't be
August.
Drinking that early.
I don't know. Well, yeah, I don't know. It is the board meeting.
Okay, so it is August 10th. It is a board meeting. We can move our board meeting up to 8 o'clock that morning for,
right.
And we'll be out of here. And we're not going to have to move the trucks out. You're saying
correct.
It can be all down.
Trucks can stay. We keep the apron clear. No one really has to be at the station. We're going to have porta potties outside of the porta potty. So,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, we have a
Roger.
In front. Go ahead.
Well, I think the women will want to use the bathroom. Roger.
But what about the trucks are going to be in the garage, but the apron's going to be packed
no.
full of stuff.
Yeah. Is that wrong? Is that wrong?
That would be a little bit of a
flowers will be hard, you know. Got to get to the fire. No, the apron will be clear. Trucks will
okay.
be inside.
They're talking about juicing the grassy area.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Putting everything down there.
Yeah. I didn't want it to be such another event where you have to come down here at 7 a.m. and move all the trucks and then after they're all finished. Because this is a long one. She wants to do it from 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. or something brutal.
Well, I think we suggested, I think she changed it to 5.
Okay. Because that's just brutal.
Yeah.
Right. I think she just spent a lot of time. Drive-through traffic, but you know what? We'll announce it at the annual meeting, and it'll be—I mean, we'll give it a boost and see what happens.
Okay.
And of course,
that'll be a squeaky wheel again. How about electricity? Making sure that they don't oversell the electricity.
Right.
And then, did you talk to her about no booth selling water and then have Keith and those guys?
Yeah, she said that there was a dealer that sells prepackaged products, but nothing will be sold by them for immediate consumption.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's so there's no.
So then what you can do, because that water, when we did the Arts and Crafts show, you know, at $1 a bottle, you get it donated from Costco.
Oh, yeah,
then
right.
it's an opportunity for the fire department
sure.
to take more than
that. Yeah, we'll cook too.
Yeah,
we'll have a cooking crew. We'll have hamburgers, hot dogs, and we'll be fine. Let's like we did for Walker Day. We'll be in good shape.
Sure. Okay. Put out some see who comes up.
Okay. New EPA, we already talked about the EPA. I don't think we need to talk about that anymore. Any other discussion about this EPA thing? Repeater lease. Now, this is something that came out of the blue. We all seen it. These emails from Keith Davis, right?
I'm still not clear. I read through those. On.
Good.
Okay. Here's the circumstances. When he wrote that up, when he wrote that, and then
he being
Keith Davis.
Okay.
He owns the property where the repeater is. He's up on Spruce Mountain. Okay. I called Roger. Roger said, "What?" Told me to call John Sumner. John Sumner thought, well, I shouldn't go through all of what's wrong. What it turns out to be, John thought it was a quick claim deed, which is impossible to do because you can't quick claim 20 square feet and record it at the county. So, as it turns out, it's a 10-year lease. The 10-year lease, $60 a year, is what the lease, is what the only information we have is what the realtor gave to Keith Davis when he bought the property. That this was an existing lease to the fire department for the...
In perpetuity?
Well, for 10 years.
Oh, 10 years.
So, I don't know when that happened. Roger is, I think he's looking now. But we don't have a copy of that original lease. We have the name of the person that the lease was made with. So, if we had a file of leases and contracts... Right,
there.
Right. And... So it may be buried in these files someplace, but the simple thing to do is to take the lease that we have for this Big Bug substation, modify it to fit this, and then work it out with Keith in terms of the value. He said he was in no rush for it, but, you know, if he sells his property next Friday. So I'll take that lease, modify it. I meant to bring it today. I did not, but I'll just modify the lease that we have. I'll talk to Keith. He lives down in the valley. We'll get together with him. He'll talk to his realtor. And we'll work out a fee arrangement. Mm-hmm. I don't know if $60 a year is what we want to pay necessarily. I don't know who pays the electricity up there, mm-hmm. right? I don't know. Do we have a meter? Roger, do you know?
As far as the electricity, I don't think, have we been paying the electricity? I don't know. You're right. It is solar.
Okay. I was going to say it would be nominal either way, but...
Is it a solar?
Yes.
And if that's the case,
Grant is right.
In the contract, it would just be saying something like, if the solar panel goes out, we'll be responsible for that.
Well, I've never seen it.
Yeah, nobody's seen it? Somebody should go up
there. Roger's seen it. Have you seen it, Roger?
I have not been up there, no.
Okay. Well, we insure it.
Fans
it?
I mean, if Mark Keegan was just up there with John Sumner, it was when they needed to convert it to narrowband. So it's there, it's alive and well, and we use it.
But we don't know what shape the building's in.
Or if you got electric to it, or...
No, Glenn is right, it's solar.
It's solar. Yeah. What shape is the building in, Glenn?
It's fine.
It's fine?
It's got a fence around it.
Is that right next to the lookout tower?
No.
What do we use it? The repeater, though, what signal are we repeating?
It's a firefighter.
It's a... the way it's used is on the radio, it's a separate channel that goes, has a much further reach. So, like, when we go out to Potato Patch, we can't use our Walker dispatch channel from Potato Patch to communicate to the station. We need to use the repeater channel to go further. Or, you know, we've gone much further than that at times. And so the alarm channel, the primary channel, that does work. But if we need a second channel, the dispatch channel won't work. The repeater channel will from far out.
Okay. One other thing that should be done, you probably have already, Bobby, but the battery inspection check occasionally.
Yes.
The water in it and so on. There should be somebody up there occasionally monitoring the
periodically.
Periodic maintenance.
We'll have to do that here.
Okay. Yeah, I like that idea.
There'll be the battery committee chair.
So we need to put that in some kind of a tickler file so that every 6 months, Roger, I guess.
No, that's Roger's job.
Yeah. No.
You know, I need a water.
There's one right there on the.
Oh, great.
Okay. Anything else on the repeater lease? Welcome wagon.
Okay, welcome wagon. And just to back up a minute, the website, I recently went through and compiled all the things, the dates and everything, and got that posted to the website calendar, the community calendar.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get Chris to, right now, the calendar, when you get onto that, you see one calendar, and you don't see any other month. Mm-hmm. So you click on the calendar on an event, and then it brings up another one so you can go to the other month. I'm saying, could we show a couple of months on there,
right,
so we don't have to, because people can't figure out how to drill down one more level.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage all of us that, you know, when you get a date for something, I've gotten most of the dates, I think, but when you get a date, if we have a new event, please get it to me as quickly as possible so we can get that put on the calendar. And Laura and I have been actually working on a cooperative effort between the WCA and the WFPA on making sure that if we have a date on there for them and that changes, they can get that to us directly. And if we have a date for them and that we can work
right
back and forth.
Okay.
So, trying to work that out. Okay, so.
Welcome wagon.
Before you leave the website?
Yes.
On the website, there's two logos, and they're neither one of the new ones.
Can we
replace it? Just have one and then free up some space. Two, I was looking for the articles, can't find them. The bylaws are in there, but not the articles.
Well,
Can we just PDF, you know, put a copy in there as well?
Of the revised articles?
The ones that are current.
Current.
Current articles.
Not the...
Okay. Got it. And then have one logo, right?
Yeah, and then what you might want to do is put some kind of a, because he's got a little box that he reserves for the stuff that's coming up. I don't know if you want to put the EPA thing in there, a notice, but the membership meeting coming up, nomination committee's been formed, and so kind of start getting some of that out. Then you can piggyback that with a blast out to the community.
Yeah.
If you want to take a look at it.
Yeah, and we try to do that whenever possible. And the EPA thing, like I said, it's not going to be a link. We're going to actually put a full banner in there so people don't have to
try and find it.
It's right in their face.
Sure.
So welcome wagon, where we're going with it.
All right.
And Laura and I have been in discussion about this because the WCAA has done some things on that, and I've contacted our superwoman, and Laura McCune, who worked for you guys last year on the Walker Days, getting all the prizes and all.
I thought it was Laura Reeder.
Well, it is, but she got married.
Oh, hello.
So she's agreed to
good
to work on this and
McCune.
McCune. M C
whatever, E-W-E-N or something like that. I'll get that.
Oh, okay, good. She's a great guy.
I got it on my phone. But what WCAA had been trying to do, and they had been successful, handing out packets with all the information in it, and they finally went to, what's her name?
Sharon Benz,
and gave her the packets, and relatively none have been distributed in that respect. So we were relying and have relied on that in the past to provide when someone was going to buy a property. You know, there's no motivating factor for the real estate agent to actually hand this over to somebody and go, here. We think that there is.
I think there is.
But
there
for
is.
The real estate agent,
yeah.
You know, it's... So
Sharon was all in favor of this.
Yeah.
Anxious to get these. And it was more than just a folder. It was a whole bag of good
stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And just because, you know, Sharon has been handing them out. She gave me one when I bought my property. And it was more than just a folder. Mm-hmm. There was a whole Walker bag that came with it. Additional information.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to put that down. I'm just saying that, you know, there have been other people who moved in the area and
I think part of that, or those are realtors that aren't Sharon Benz. Sharon minds this whole area.
I know
that. She does an exceptional job because I still have the bag and that.
I agree with you. I'm not.
But maybe what we can do is where we get, you know, whether it's one of the websites, send the package out.
Let me finish.
Okay.
So when I talked to Laura about this, and she's, you know, excited about it. She gets pretty excited pretty quickly. Worked with us on FireWise as well as this particular project, and I just threw some things out there. She goes, oh, God, I could do this. I can get these things. I can get them put into the package and do like what they're doing with the, you know, and add some things in there for maybe a coupon for a free dinner or something like that to move into the area. And I said, well, you know, maybe it would be better for us to work off of a data file rather than relying on the agent to do this. So on her own, she her husband's in the he manages the 26 Coldwell Banker offices, and she used to be a title person, so she's got this down. So she jumps on the county assessors and got all this stuff, and for these many dollars, we can get a quarterly deal and update that, and we can just use that, and we can carry them out to the people, whether it's her. She wouldn't mind doing that.
I think Joyce is getting the updates, isn't she?
Yeah, we get them for free.
Okay, well, we can coordinate. Okay, so that's sort of where we're going, and I wanted to coordinate with Lauren on that too, because I don't want to steal anything WCAA has already put a lot of effort into, but I think we can maybe work in a community spirit here together to help actually make this work for everybody in the community. So that's where we're headed with that. Any questions about any ads?
Nope. Do we need to spend any money?
Not right now. I don't think we do.
Okay.
So, if you guys got the latest data on the regular basis.
Is this something we need to approve as a board to you know, cover her in case she has some issues with the insurance?
You know, I
ask yourself, rolls down.
Welcome
injury.
Well, as a volunteer, she's covered.
Yeah, okay.
But what I was wondering.
But are we sanctioning what she's doing?
What's she doing?
Well, she's
welcome,
handing out God, the guy that's helping on Chipper Day has got more risk than that.
I know.
But the planning committee, I thought this might fit into their portfolio or not. Is this going to be completely separate?
Yeah, and I'll get to the planning committee in just a second. I think what we'll do, that could be a little sub thing for community. Maybe it's in the community.
Sure, because that's what Lauren and I have talked about. So,
okay.
Getting the database would be advantageous because you can't hand these packets out to every realtor who might be selling something.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Right now, Sharon is the only one who has these. Granted, she does the majority of the sales out here.
Sure.
But it may not always be the case.
And I'd like to see what the welcome wagon packet looks like these days.
Well, they put a lot of stuff in.
get one tomorrow.
Really? Okay. Okay.
But, so we'd have to get one.
Yeah. Sure, it's kind of, it'd be kind of nice to see what we're kind of approving, you know.
Yeah, I have a copy that right. But we'd like to, you know, improve that somewhat.
Sure. And I mean, you can put a flyer in there, like a community events flyer, or I mean, obviously you have a link to the website, but
for a good time.
Right. So it sounds like Lauren's going to do that.
And
all right.
My personal phone number.
Okay. All right. So welcome back. Good project. And you said you want to go back to the planning committee?
Yeah, that's gone absolutely nowhere. I sent out an email about a month ago. Roger responded. I think part of the challenge that we have, it's posted on the website right now, but we have the planning committee, and then we have kind of a mission statement, a couple, and those are the things that belong in there. And then what we did, and I actually was probably the culprit there, is we tacked on every committee we could possibly think of and threw in all the needs for each committee. I'm going to strip all that down. We're going to go ahead and keep the committees in there, and there's a lot of valuable information. But what I'm going to do is in the next 30 days, I'm just going to focus on the planning committee, the strategy, where we're at, what we're, you know, why we're here, and send that to the planning group, and then by next board meeting, we're going to have something to approve or yuck.
It's only been 3 years.
I know.
It's difficult to do.
You know what's interesting,
though?
Well, it's you know, you're trying to figure out what, you know, where do you want to go with this and then how encompassing. But I think if we just get the planning committee, the rest of it kind of falls into place.
Yeah.
And I was through the internet a couple of times, and my God, there's all kinds of information on volunteer fire departments.
Yes.
And organizations and associations.
Yeah.
And you just sit there getting captivated and all this stuff. And there's also
and
strategic and planning. So I'm going to start just stealing that stuff and then patching it.
Good job.
And then we'll have something really short, succinct, and then if we want to bolt on more, we'll do that.
Sure. Okay.
So I'll have that done by next board meeting.
I think the simpler the better. The simpler the better. You just have some projected things
you're right.
Because I think the committee's even looking at it, and they're saying, where do we start with
this?
Yeah, you just grow so many arms and legs. That you
Right.
You know, here's, I don't know where we are on our agenda.
We're on the...
We're at the end of the agenda, but people are just now adding...
I understand.
What do you have to add?
I had a thought. I thought, you know what, I wonder if we need a... Really, like a five-minute tutorial at the annual meeting on how to get in and out of the Walker website. Just so people know, you know what, if you want this kind of information, there it is. It's easy, you know.
I think it's a wonderful idea. In fact, Chris and I have already discussed this.
Okay.
And I said, Chris, what we need on the website is the way you navigate it on the website.
Mm-hmm.
But we can also put a presentation together for the thing and say, okay, here's what you do. Because we've had countless calls. Well, I can't get in. I don't have
a... It should be easy, and there's a wealth of information there. That's what I'm missing out on, and community events and all that. And, okay, good.
All right. We're through our agenda. Anything else for the agenda? Community announcements? Lauren, you have anything?
Things that I haven't noticed here in the last couple of times I've been here, nobody's brought up the medical thing. And for me, I believe... They even did a survey with the community to find out what was important to the community. And there hasn't been a word mentioned about it at the last few meetings. So what are you going to do? My thoughts are, what about a rent a paramedic?
A what?
Rent a paramedic.
Correct. Oh, I understand.
That he can be doing severity patrols in the summertime. I don't think we need... a paramedic here at this time of the year. But during the 2 or 3 or 4 months in the middle of the summer when there's a lot of activity here, our friends are up here, our friends' friends are up here, they're doing crazy things with quads and hurting themselves. We don't want to see those people hurt even though they're doing something what they shouldn't be. We have the Zola issue, right? If we had a paramedic that we rented, wouldn't that take care of the Zoll issue?
But I mean, he's taken care of already.
But I mean, wouldn't it be a
benefit?
A benefit. We have the device. We need we need the individual to run it.
Okay.
Can that be discussed? Can somebody put that on an agenda to do something so we actually get something done?
Sure.
What happened?
All right.
I'm expecting somebody here.
Hang on a minute.
Okay.
Glenn, what I'm hearing you're suggesting is that
we, as a board, pay somebody as a paramedic to be here on a part-time temporary basis during some of the high use season. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's not an original thought.
No. And we have, okay. Okay.
Did we discuss it now or?
No, yeah, sure. You have anything else to ask about? Okay, let me start. I know you may have other thoughts about it, but let me start. Wait, you know, we've talked about this several times, Glenn, in terms of the cost effectiveness of having a paramedic here. We did increase the number of EMTs that we have responded, and we have been responding to these medical calls, and at the same time we are being supported by Lifeline, who is the ambulance that has actually got this area to cover. They won't put somebody out here because it's just not cost-effective. We have also been supported by Engine 75 from the Prescott Fire Department to come and respond. So the response times have been relatively good in terms of how long it takes for people to get here. So the cost of having somebody here and the number of calls that actually have been coming in, like Roger indicated in his report, the calls for service have been seeming to increase. And so as that happens, then we need to readdress this issue. I think that our discussion in the past has been that it's not cost-effective to have a paramedic sit here being paid when he's only responding to maybe two calls a month. And how do you do it 7 days a week? Do you have somebody at night? And, you know, you have to make decisions like that. So that's been kind of the discussion.
The discussion, I've heard this discussion before. And what I guess I'm wondering, as a board, you guys are against it. Is that true?
No, we're not against it at all.
Is that what you're saying? Well, if you're not against it, you're for it, right?
Well, Glenn.
There's no middle ground.
Well, things are always great.
If you're going to rent one, you rent one.
Yeah.
You don't have to rent him for 12 o'clock in the middle of the night during the high traffic time of the year. The few months that we have here that's very nice, everybody comes up here during the day when people are doing things stupid. Has that been addressed? Is the board saying no to that?
I think the answer to that, yes, Glenn, is that yes, the board has said that up till now that they are not going to spend the money to do that sort of thing.
Okay.
Now that's what's been happening in the past.
Are you in favor of it or not?
I'd like to have some discussion for a moment.
I would like to know each one of you. Do you want to go for it or don't go for it?
I think the four of us or the rest of us, dude, I'd like to hear from Roger before any of them.
Well, to me, it boils down to a financial decision. Certainly, the community is better served any amount of time that we can have a paramedic here, whether that's renting or someone in the community who is a paramedic. So that's the first question. We're better off that way. In terms of paying someone, 2 days a week or 3 days a week for 2 or 3 months, statistically speaking, there's going to be little to no calls in that time. I mean, that's the risk that the board takes up front. Yes, if something bad happens while the paramedic is on duty, then there's no question the response time is what we're probably buying between what Lifeline gets here, the vast majority of the time, we're buying probably 5 to 7 minutes,
right,
which can matter. It absolutely can. But there's a thing about 10 minutes, depending on the nature of the injury. So it can matter. However, in terms of the economics of it, if we just think of it in terms of the length of the fire season, just for the time being, so that is typically 2.5 months. The wage for a paramedic is closer to $20 an hour. So if it's the 2 days a week, and if $20 is right, and it's close to right, then that's 160. So that's $320 a weekend on the paramedic times, say, 10 weeks. So that's potentially $3,200. And statistically speaking, we have 50 calls, 50... six or four calls all of last year. So statistically speaking, it doesn't make any sense. In terms of to the one person who might actually sustain an injury, then yeah, it could be all the difference in the world. I mean, there's no easy answer, and I don't think there's a simple yes, no, for or against. It does the community want to make the investment in such a thing with the expectation that nothing, well, statistically speaking,
right,
nothing's going to happen in the however many hours that works out to be. But if my math is right in the head, it would be a $3,200 investment.
Well, let's see, you put $5,000 in additional funding into his hole, didn't you?
Well, I didn't.
In other words, in the whole scheme of things, a $5,000 a year investment in some additional medical help doesn't seem to me to be completely out of line.
If you want to pay for it, then
decision.
Okay, if you want to write a check for $5,000 every year, I bet we could work something out.
But can we?
Sure. Wait, just a minute. Okay, Glenn. The problem with having back and forth discussions, we understand your position, is that you want to have paid or have better medical.
Well, I think you hear what he
wants. He represents that segment of the community. But let us have this discussion, because if we start having personal discussions back and forth, we never get much accomplished. So, I've stated our position, my position. Roger's now talked. And then we'll come back to you in a minute. We'll do this in an orderly way.
Okay. So,
okay.
Right. I look at it this way, and I respect Roger's position because I think he has a pretty good handle on the situation. However, I look at, is there that one person out there? You know, sure, Lifeline gets it quick, but Lifeline in many cases can't go every place here. And if we took this particular suggestion for a year, 2 months or 3 months or 2.5 months, and not that I want to spend $3,200 or whatever it is, but I look at it like, yes, we are probably getting to be a bigger department, and yes, we probably are going to have increasing calls, and yes, there are going to be people coming up here and doing all this crazy stuff. So I personally, I would say on a trial basis for 1 year, I'd be in favor of doing it. Because I think that there is that 5 to 10 minute lag where a Lifeline is coming up here. You got somebody up on some mining claim that's fallen off a quad or run into a tree. They can't get there. We have to get there, and we usually are there first. If we have that person here, that could be a matter of life or death. And that $3,200 doesn't mean a damn thing if it's life and death. It just takes one time.
Okay. Russ?
Are we equipped for paramedics here? Do we have everything that a paramedic would need?
We do not have a drug box. So, first of all, assuming that we can get people to want to work, have shift work out here as a paramedic, so one way or another, there'd be the issue of procuring a drug box for them. That would probably mean, we might be able to get them to bring their own drug box for the ship, but there's going to be an expense that we incur, a nominal expense. The reason to do it or not do it wouldn't boil down to the drug box, but that is a detail item that we would have to address.
And then we just give them a vehicle and they...
Well, no. Basically, they would be here at the station to respond in our ambulance with one of our firefighters. I would correct one thing that you said as far as them not being able to get everywhere. That's not really true, because they can tie in with us, so we can get them in. So, do it or not do it doesn't boil down to Lifeline being able to physically get someplace, because we've gotten them, as soon as they've gotten here without delay.
I was referring to the fact that Lifeline's on its way. We're usually out there. But I've counted that. It's usually 10 to 12 minutes on Lifeline, depending.
Depends. Sometimes it's the same time, and sometimes it all depends.
Sometimes we're there ahead and they're catching up, or we're like from this guy that was up on mine. They met up with us, and after we got lost a couple of times, they figured it out. So, and the whole idea, I look at it, is the board responsible in the way for the community in this situation? I think we are. Not that I want to feel like we're shirking a duty if we don't do it, but, is it incumbent upon us to step up
from the other end, I you know, put the responsibility back to the community. Donate. There is a 3/4 of the community that doesn't donate to the firehouse, and you can't take $3,200. And I realize, you know, what Glenn's saying, you can take $3,200 out of the budget and do this, and 3/4 of the community doesn't support it.
Well, and I think that maybe we can go back to the community.
Okay.
John?
Yeah, my thought is it's cost prohibitive. You know, we're looking at it. It's not 30. Let's just say we had a paramedic that's doing a ride-along. You know, we're saving a few dollars because they're actually going out. They're in Potato Patch. We get a call at your house. We need a paramedic. Lifeline is a lot closer. In fact, you tell me when you're going to have a problem, and I'll tell you exactly. I mean, that's when we'll get the person here. But there's too many hours in the day to cover, even if you're just going to go with this 8 hours a day, 2 days a week. There's 5 days that are uncovered that someone could have an issue. I know you're looking at it. Let's look at the time that's most likely for something to occur. You know what? It's we'd be throwing, and this could be an incident that maybe once every 10 years is where we really needed that person. Now we just spend $32,000 for that 1 5-minute savings. It's such a long shot. It's like, why doesn't the government just pay for college for everyone? It'd be a great thing for society, but it's cost prohibitive. So there's a point where you just have to say, as a board, we're doing what we can. We're managing the risk the best we can. We've got more EMTs now than we've ever had, right? I think we're doing the job. I'm comfortable with that, you know.
Greg, is that address the board?
Yeah, the reason that this is such a difficult, because I think everyone, if we had our way, would love to have paramedics and EMT and an entourage of coverage for everyone that lives here. And in my mind, you know, the high season, and I don't know how many of the people that we've helped are actually members, right? There's a cost benefit, and the cost benefit is borne by the members here. And so if we're hauling out people, and it's not that it's the wrong thing to do, but, you know, bikers and so forth, you know, they're not paying the bill. We get no offset to that. Okay, so that's one side of it is how do we have that coverage, and are we putting it in the right place? One thing I do like about Glenn's idea is we've seen in the surveys, and we're working with the EMTs to build that up. We do have the truck, and we have the equipment. And so, you know, might this be a way where you do the ride-along and you share the expense and you do it for a definite period of time? It's going to be the high season this year. We put that in our newsletter. We got in the survey that people want this, okay? Now, clearly the priority is don't let the forest burn down. That's right. The first one. That's, you know, our job is don't screw that up. The second one right behind that is this, the EMT and the medical. Would this be a way, if we define it and say, okay, look, it's going to cost us $3,200. It may cost us $1,600 when we net out what we would have paid, you know, the ride-along anyway, the, what do we call it?
Severity?
The severity patrol, right, because we're paying that if the person wants it. So maybe that's a blended cost of $1,600 to try it for 2 or 3 months of this year, tell the community that we're doing that, and look, you know what, this might take off. There might be some additional pieces of this that we didn't consider, some benefits we might get as a department, who knows? But is $16 to $2,000 something that we can't afford? No. Do I think the community would dig in their pocket? I think in the survey, we already see in there that people do see more value, at least the people that are already paying. Could we get some of the people that aren't paying right now if we start opening that door just a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the amount, if we can find somebody that's willing to do this, that's going to
be great. I would alter the one point in your comment is it's not going to be real easy to find people to come here to do it. I don't think it's going to be insanely difficult. It's not going to be real easy. And if we limit the people that are just fire personnel, that's going to make it much more difficult. Point being, there's lifeline personnel who would pick up the shift potentially, but aren't fire. So we still need two fire people here. So I'm not sure that there would be an offset. If I understood the context of your use of the word offset, we might have to have three people on if a paramedic who's on shift today is not fire trained.
Okay. But if he wasn't, could he still be that second person? Does he qualify as the driver as opposed to the fire? I'm just looking at, you know, here's
that
the thing.
Might
is,
be different.
I think we can sit here and maybe there's an opportunity right now to take a look at it and just try it. because there are a lot of unanswered questions. And I have, you know, the big issue for me is the economics. You know, if it's true that Lifeline can come out here at 7 minutes for most, you know, I look at the economic payback of paying somebody, you know, full-time, part-time, or contract. But I think there is a way of doing this where you can test the water and see if there's even merit in it. And the other thing is then I think you speak to the community and say, okay, look, this is what you've told us. This is what we've heard. Now, put your money where your mouth is. Do you see value in it? Maybe it's not perfect for you, but at least it's a start in that direction.
And that was just my point. I know we need to close this down, but my point in this situation, and I think what Glenn is alluding to is, if you're going to take the trouble to try and manage this community as a board, and you're going to take the trouble to do a survey and find out what the community wants, then the perception in the community's mind is, are you going to step up? If we tell you that's what we want, are you going to step up? And we can say, yes, we can step up. Are you going to step up? So I think you're right in that situation. I think the perception in the community would we be well served, perception of the board in this community would be well served to listen to the community and try to do what we can. And whether we do that on a one-year basis or, you know, a sample, how we do that, I think we should make an attempt to serve the community. That's our job, I think.
And if it doesn't work, and if it, you know, and like I said, and we don't get if we don't get an increase in donations or dialogue, then that we've tried it and we move on. But I think, you know, I think we owe it to the community at least to try it in some measured dose. We don't want to go out and bankrupt the department. We can't afford to do that. We've got a zero-sum budget right now. But this could be a way that
maybe we have a sinking fund, like we were talking. Maybe we have a sinking fund. We have a special fund. We have
something like that.
Something like that. I mean, but I think that the idea is we should.
And the last thing, the last comment that I have is really on the medical. We do need to, you know, at one point in time we're talking about defibs. And what happened with that? Are we done?
Well, I think the whole discussion of the defibrillation thing were, and Roger can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's, you know, Scott's idea was to be putting these in different places. You have to be within 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Is that correct, 3 minutes?
Yeah, so we're talking about the AEDs.
Yeah, the AEDs.
Yeah, so Scott wanted to have 15 of them, so there were, like, every person had one within 5 minutes. Steve Nathanson was not in favor of that idea for whatever reason. The cost is enormous. It truly is an enormous cost, and it's above and beyond the capacity of a normal fire department function to have, an AED. If that were some sort of auxiliary function, handled outside, maybe, but and then the maintenance of the batteries are like over $100, to maintain them. It was a weird thing, and it was the one guy's idea, and there was a little bit of follow-up on it. I mean, that
died on that.
With respect to the AEDs, I think that there are some in the community already. I know that I have one. Other people may have them. And just have a inventory of what's available, like the water tanks.
Yeah.
And to do that sort of a thing in terms of where AEDs are available. As far as this particular topic in terms of the economic problems or advantage or disadvantage of doing, there are several things involved in having somebody to, you're taking your best guess and saying, okay, what we're going to do is we'll hire somebody to come as a paramedic to be available on Saturday and Sunday or the weekends, the holiday weekends, 3 days or 4 days, whatever the holiday weekends are, and decide what those costs are. But as Roger points out, the likelihood of that being needed, are you doing this for public relations purposes? And that's an important thing. And we're just going to spend $3,200 and say, okay, we're giving this Band-Aid approach to this. That's fine if that's what you decide to do. Whether or not it's practical, that's a totally different issue. Whether or not it's practical, and so that's something we have to decide. Now, is somebody willing to make a study or say come to the board and make a presentation? This is what it is. If you hire people that are, to get the kind of person that you want to react to your medical emergencies, you don't want somebody that's willing to sit around his butt for 8 hours before he goes home. You want somebody that, you know, would you be able to use him to do other things?
Give me one second.
Would you be able to use him to do other things? Would say a paramedic that you have on standby be willing to clean the firehouse, be able to do involved in other things? Is that something, even though we're not necessarily a firefighter, but because there's going to be other things that they could do here as an employee of the firehouse? So there's things to consider. There are people in the community who really aren't interested in this. That, you know, they just don't think it's necessary. Because you have, you know, relatively quick response time from Lifeline and the support from the Prescott Fire Department. We are in a rural area. Some of that has to be expected. So that's part of the philosophy of different people have. So in terms of a discussion by the board, I think somebody needs to think through this and make a presentation to us about what the advantages are and is it worth the money that we'd have to pay, and is it practical?
Yeah.
You had something?
No.
You mentioned something when you were talking, and kind of stuck in my head. If there was somebody that is a non-member, is there a possibility of charging them?
We've looked at that, I think, Jill, because, you know, we purchased the truck and so forth.
Right.
And I'm not sure if, you know, we're not a district, so.
No.
I'm not sure that we can do that. No, we are
not the certified ambulance service. It's Lifeline that is a certified ambulance service. We don't bill for any of our services we're donation based.
And some of the protections of Good Samaritan, I think that we have a little bit of coverage on.
Sure.
Circle that rate when you get out of pay.
Okay.
Right.
If you could do that.
If you could.
All right.
Real quick question. Right now we have, is there an EMT on all severity control? No. So in the EMTs we have three right now?
No, I think five.
Okay.
Then Mark Keegan will probably be a sixth.
Okay. So is it possible that half the time there's a severity control, there's an EMT on board? Or?
Well, that's difficult because it's shift work that, you know, some people, you know, need the money, quite frankly. And so that it doesn't necessarily pertain to the people who gone ahead and become EMT.
Gotcha.
So how do you force someone to...
Absolutely.
You know, you're working Saturday.
Correct.
You know, that becomes difficult.
Sure. Okay. I mean, it just seems to me like we have half a dozen EMTs in the community, more than we've had before. Like you alluded to, there's a certain amount of responsibility that just living this far out into the woods, people have to take certain risks. And you can't expect that those risks are going to be... diluted by your community purchasing these really expensive what-if scenarios, you know. So, I think my point's out there.
We know that.
Yeah. I made my point.
I'd be in favor of making a motion to at least investigate the possibility of, you know, where we could, who we could, and how we could.
You made the motion?
Yeah. To have Roger investigate a little bit about where, who, how a person might be available and what that would really mean to us. If it is a person who is a paramedic willing to come here, first of all, for a 2.5 months to do this.
It would have to be, you know, like a roster of people that want to work. It wouldn't be
and
the expectation needs to be that, you know, if there are figuring long holidays, if there are 22 shifts in a fire season, we're not going to get a paramedic come work all 22 shifts.
Exactly.
That being said, I can investigate, and I might be wrong about 20 bucks. You know, it might be 17, it might be 25.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'll find out.
Okay. Could we agree on a job description for this person? In other words, this person would be, he'd be bringing his paramedic credentials with him.
Right.
But also, you know, during that, it could be the ride-along as well. It could be cleaning up at the station. Because there's not going to be, that entire shift isn't going to be. So if we have that and we post that.
Here's the motion. He's moved that Roger investigate the availability of maybe a paramedic to come. Is there a second to that motion?
Sir.
Okay.
And I'd be willing to work with Roger if we,
All right. So the motion is that Roger determines whether or not there's a pool of paramedics that might be available to come to Walker
to provide part-time paramedic availability through the fire, just part, without limiting when and where and how. Okay, just the fact, is there a pool of, paramedics?
What's it going to cost?
What's this going to cost and the costs, okay? That's the motion that's been seconded. Now, you had a discussion. You asked whether or not this paramedic position
would have a job description
that would include other work than paramedic work.
Because the reach out to the community, you may get a different result when you tell the guy you're not going to sit on your chair for 8 hours. You're actually going to help the fire department.
Okay.
So that's what I would say. And going back out, it's a fishing expedition at this point.
Right.
We bring it back to the board. Does it make sense?
Right. Okay. So the motion as amended would be that you would be fine if there's a pool of paramedics willing to come to the firehouse and perform fire station duties
during a specific
vacuuming,
time.
Cleaning the toilets, washing the trucks during whatever when they're here.
During
the part time, whoever they're hired.
I'm talking about the fire season.
Well, okay.
Yeah,
you can frame that.
Sure.
So, but I do think it's worth at least.
I think we have to look at it. And we may end up coming back to the same conclusion.
Sure.
All right.
But I think we have to look at it.
I think we will.
Any other discussion?
Yeah. I think in there, you know what? If we're thinking that, all right, the most biggest chance of this happening is a weekend from this time to this time. I'd like to look historically and say, okay, let's look at when we really have needed a paramedic in this community. Wait a minute, it was at midnight on New Year's Eve when some idiot drove off a cliff. Because my guess is, there's probably this huge scenario is going to get put together with a ginormous amount of efforts put into this, and we're going to find that we've got about a 1 in 20 shot of that person actually being there when we need them.
Statistically, we already know that.
It's such a long, long shot.
But
there is a PR layer to it.
Sure.
And
intrinsic value to it.
You know, if there is a thing where, you know, during the fire season on the weekends, someone does really jack themselves up on an ATV, it should make the difference. That's what's at stake.
Statistically, it
doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Yeah. So does that frame the
discussion?
The motion in terms of what we've asking.
One point of information to the motion, I can do this in the next month, but I won't be here at the next meeting to participate in the discussion, just as a reminder.
Okay.
We can
communicate about what you find.
Suggestion out of turn here. Did we have Steve step in for you?
What do you mean?
Doing the research.
Communicate with Steve your position. I know he'll be one of the people that will be contacting the paramedics to find out who's available and so on. And I've talked to Steve in the past, and he's filled with $20, and it makes sense.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He was also told me, and of course it should come from him, that there should be no problem getting somebody.
Okay. So we have the motion. Basically, you understand what the direction is. All in favor? Opposed? Is that an opposition or is that a...
No, it's in favor.
Okay.
I have an opposition.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So you have... What do you got here?
Four, one.
Okay.
We never had this before. How do I write this down? We're in agreement.
Or is it 3-1?
3-1.
Yeah.
That's
4-2. Okay.
I actually think it's 3-2. I'm going to vote no.
Okay. You don't get a vote.
Maker or breaker.
You don't get a vote.
Right.
Okay, so then next.
You adjourn?
We have to talk a little bit about FireWise meeting here that we would like to have. Like, can we talk a bit about that?
We haven't really
formalized it. We're thinking
we've reserved the date of the 15th of June, and we're in the process of forming a committee to put this thing together.
Okay.
And this is going to be what now?
The FireWise meeting.
An actual FireWise
community meeting. Right.
Education.
I see. Okay, I got you.
Okay. Marketing.
Would it be at the firehouse here, or will we figure that all out?
It's firehouse.
Okay. All right.
And that my
that's the third Saturday they'll be training here. Right?
Yeah.
June 15th.
My concern is...
So what time would the meeting be?
We're looking at 10 to 2.
When do we run into problems?
Well, we can work around it. Training lesson. We might be able to do our rock fire that day, and so we would be away from her.
It's a five Saturday month. So if you went to the 22nd...
Pull it together. So we just wanted to throw that out there to make sure everybody was aware.
Sure.
I posted it on the calendar.
Okay.
my only concern would be because Walker Day is a week after, if you were expecting that people might come up for it, but honestly, I don't know how much community involvement you're going to expect. How many people would actually make a trip up from Phoenix for a FireWise day? I wish they would, but yeah, I don't know if there's going to be much conflict there.
In June, I would expect to see the people who are
anyway.
Already here, right?
Yeah.
But then you're going to have information at Walker Days and all the other events, too.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're going to plug them in a Pancake Day and even Bingo Night.
I see where you're going with this.
Marketing,
yeah.
My man.
Marketing. Okay.
All right.
Anything else for the board meeting? And okay. So I have a motion for adjournment. John adjourned. Greg seconds.
We get back to Mike Lowens.
I know. We're not done yet. We
could wait. There's more.
He being Chuck, suggests we have a little executive meeting here.
Okay.
So,
okay. Fair enough.
Okay. So,
all in favor? Did we do that?
Yeah, we did.
All in favor.
Thanks for coming.
The thing is gone.
Yeah.